Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to another episode of eDiscovery After Hours. My guest this week is Chris Isaac from Relativity. We go deep on his Romanian roots and what his dad did in New York City when they immigrated over here, how they ended up in Oregon, his first quasi-career or intended career in criminal justice, and then you get to learn some things like his favorite concerts and movies and all of that nature. And whether we settle finally, whether it's GIF or JIF. So I think you're going to like this episode. Our sponsor this week is Proteus Discovery Group. Proteus is a litigator-led e-discovery services and consulting firm focused on data collections, e-discovery, and managed document review. Check out ProteusDiscovery.com. Thanks for tuning in.
Time. You don't know how to drink, your whole generation.
Drinks on the house.
Yes, sir.
Now, wait a second. Drinks are 50% off.
Right.
Now, wait a second. Double the price of everything.
And I work only 16 hours a day.
A union man only works 8 hours a day.
I belong to two unions.
And now, eDiscovery After Hours with your host, Ryan Short.
Chris, cheers. Welcome to eDiscovery After Hours.
Hello, hello, Ryan. Cheers.
Yeah. Happy what Friday. What are we working on here?
So this is a Romanian plum schnapps, or brandy is what they call it, and it's called Suica. So something interesting, but a little bit close to the cultural roots. So Suica.
All right. So I have so many questions, but first a comment is that when we were going back and forth, I thought that we were doing, was it gin with, what did you say originally? Because I'm not drinking the same thing as you. This is a first, folks.
Totally. I think I said vodka soda.
There it is.
Yeah. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to change it up, make it a little bit more unique.
I dig that. As you can see behind me, I've accrued some inventory. Okay. So okay. I was just going to lie and just say that this was vodka, but it is gin.
Hey, you can't go wrong with gin.
Now you know the depth of my character here, I guess. Yeah. I love that little secret into the world. All right, so tell me, what's the roots of this drink? What's the story behind it?
Yeah, so my parents are Romanian, and I was actually born in New York City specifically, but grew up in a Romanian household. And Suica is it's a local liquor that I've just always had in the house whenever I travel to Romania. Where I have a chance, I bring some back, and it's for special occasions. So, if you having me on the podcast, I was like, you know, it's a given to open up a small old pour.
So, are your parents both from Romania?
Both parents are from Romania. Yeah, my dad's Hungarian, so Hungary touches Romania, but he was born in Romania, same town as my mom, and my mom is. Truly Romanian. So a little bit of a mix. Dad has the Hungarian background. Mom's fully Romanian.
What brought them to the States?
It's a good question. It's a long story. I think we can spend about 30 minutes just talking about that. But it was the fall of the Communist Party, surprisingly. So parents both wanted a new life, something easier for me. At the time, my mom was pregnant. And my dad started working in New York City a few years before my mom left as a cab driver. And so my dad essentially said, hey, there's an opportunity in New York. If you want to go, let's do it. And so that was the start of it. And so I didn't grow up specifically in New York, but it was about when I was four, my parents had connections in Oregon. And that's where we essentially moved. And that's where I grew up from that point on.
So that's home. Oregon is home.
Oregon is home. Yeah. So
yeah.
I try to get to New York City as often as I can. I love it. But if you ask me any specific questions or places to go, it's a very small book of knowledge.
So were your parents very intentional then about raising you as an American and enculturating you here, or were you raised in, I mean, do you speak Romanian? were you raised in a house that really clung to its roots? And I mean that in a positive sense.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah, talk to me about what that blend was.
Boy, yeah, it was definitely unique and very Romanian. So my parents didn't really have the exposure of what the American culture was like. So I feel like I left, it was like two lives. When I was outside of the house, it was the American lifestyle. And when I was back in the house, it was the Romanian lifestyle. And so Romanian was my first language and English was my second. So I picked up English just through school, through shows. And so for the longest time, I had a little bit of an accent growing up in elementary school. And some of my friends that I'm still connected with remember me having a little bit of an accent. So it's funny. It's funny that I don't know how I grew out of it, but there are times where I might pronounce something with a little bit of a uniqueness to it, or words are sometimes flipped and I have to turn on that switch to correct it. But
yeah,
it was pretty unique.
I of the English speaking world, I'm pretty good at accents and languages and impressions and things like that. The one English speaking accent that always gives me pause is South Africa. Okay. That's the one where I'm like, wait, are you from New Zealand? Are you from London? What is happening here?
Yeah.
I've got a neighbor who's South African, so he's coaching me up so I can.
I always try to keep an ear out to see. I'm like, can I guess? Or when I hear a language being spoken, I'm like, I try to like grow my knowledge of understanding. I'm like, okay, it's German or it's French, you know, trying to just understand as much of the spectrum of languages. But yeah,
if the C discovery thing doesn't work out, you could go work for Babbel and just be a poster child there.
One day we'll see.
All right, let's get into a little bit of a lightning round. We can cover a lot of ground here to help the folks get to know you quickly. What was the first concert that you attended?
Oh, that's a good one. The Killers.
Oh, excellent answer. Yeah. Great answer.
Yeah.
What was the favorite concert you've attended?
Oh, that's a good one. Cleo. Cleo would be probably the best concert where goosebumps essentially throughout their entire set. It was just, I can go on and on about it, but if you haven't had a chance to look it up, it's K-A-L-E-O. Cleo.
Yeah. Yep. I know Cleo. Yeah. Are you a musician, by the way?
I wish. I would say I have the ear for it, but I can't play an instrument to save my life. So I have a big appreciation for it. How about you, Ryan?
I'm a good drummer, an okay guitarist, and a bad piano player.
All right. We'll have to send some music back and forth.
Yeah, we've got a two-car garage that has a minivan and my drum set. So
I love it.
I'm living vicariously, living my dreams in a very unique way. Who's the biggest celebrity you've ever met?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I don't know if it'll be before or after the series, but I assume you're probably going to meet Bryan Cranston, which that's a heck of an answer.
I wish to meet Bryan Cranston. I don't think I've really met a celebrity where. Yeah, nothing. I can't answer that one. I don't think I've met a famous celebrity yet. So that's still on the bucket list of meeting somebody where I'm starstruck. I've seen people in the distance, but never going up and saying hello.
Yeah. You get to spend some more time in New York, I guess.
I know. Ooh. Keep an eye out for actors or celebrities in the area.
Yeah. All right, last one. Do you pronounce it GIF or JIF?
GIF.
Okay, GIF. Good. That's the correct answer. Yes. All right.
Now. Which, speaking of, I am a very big GIF user. So if for those that work with me know that at least once or twice a day, I'm sending a GIF.
So Ray, the Proteus co-founder and the CEO, he and I do a lot of tag team presentations and CLEs. And we were doing one on kind of, you know, all of these, you know, emerging data types and, you know, ephemeral data and social media and this and that and the other. And we were talking about GIFs and Ray, you know, there's a couple of hundred of young associates for a, you know, defense trial counsel conference. And Ray goes, you know, this points to me. He goes, this jerk over here, basically the only thing he does is text and GIFs. So, you know, he's going to be a nightmare if you're talking about processing this data in the wrong way and blah, blah, blah.
Like,
so
it's like deciphering what is he trying to say in GIFs or emojis?
It's funny. It's an art. It's an art, man. You can convey so much with so little.
I've added the extension in Outlook specifically with GIFs. So if that says anything,
there you go.
That's it.
Nice. All right. So Romanian parents emigrated to New York. That's where you're born. Dad's a cab driver, you know, starting that American dream. And then you guys move out to Oregon.
Yeah.
Where in Oregon are you?
So in Portland. So I'm not in Portland anymore. It's a suburb on the outside. It was called Lake Oswego. And that's the primary area that I grew up in. But now I'm in Eugene, Oregon, if you know where that is.
Yeah, I knew. So before I was in eDiscovery, I spent almost a decade in transportation.
Okay.
And so I have a really terrible party trick where if somebody tells me where they're from, I can give them like the zip code and the nearest interstate interchange. And it's a very lame, but useful. it's lame to the layman, but very useful in a very specific industry.
No, hey, if it helps, it helps. I think mine is guessing knowing a lot of car manufacturers and models. I think that's my random skill and trick. So if
there you go.
Yours comes in handy, I would say at some point knowing cars and models.
Yeah, in a very limited way. All right, so let me flex my lame geography knowledge muscle. Have you ever summited Mount Hood?
I have not, but I have done St. Helens.
Okay, all right. And what's the peak for both of those?
That's a good question. I wouldn't know, but I know it was enough that I didn't account enough time in the day to summit and then make my way back without being in the dark. So I'll say that it was high enough, but it was definitely a memory. And I went with one of my good friends. It was a lifetime memory. I can go into that for another hour, but I'll save it. So if you haven't had a chance, number one, my advice is having All Trails, which is the GPS that tells you everything. That's number one.
Great app. Big plug for All Trails.
Yeah.
All Trails, if you want to sponsor the podcast, slide into my DMs. But yeah, huge, great app.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah. So St. Helens, I do have a colleague that does have a hobby of summiting as many of the mountains in the Pacific Northwest. And I don't know, maybe one day we'll see, but Helens was enough for me for the time being.
Nice. All right. Final Oregon specific question.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on Portlandia, the show, the Fred Armisen show?
Oh, that's a good question. And I'm not equipped to answer it because I haven't watched it. Surprisingly, being an Oregonian, I have not watched Portlandia.
All right. I will send you some clips that will change your life.
All right. I'll keep an eye out for it.
All right. So you have had, I suppose, maybe present tense, but it looks to me like you were on, you know, invested pretty heavily in the criminal justice path, right? That's what your undergraduate degree is in. You spent some time working in, you know, various areas of law enforcement. So tell me, when you got to college, what is it that drew you into criminal justice as a major?
So good question. It's somewhat very random when it comes to like the inspiration of criminal justice, but in high school, before having a license, a lot of people were on bikes when it came to getting around town. And there was a police officer that was in town. And she was just great. Whenever we ran into her, not for bad reasons, just she was at the park stopping by to say hi. We ended up building a relationship, and just she could talk about anything, very easy, very outgoing. And just one day she asked us if we wanted to do a ride along. I'm like, yeah, okay. And this was when I was about 14 or 15. And so I ended up pursuing it. I said, okay. And we ended up doing a graveyard shift, which is from, I think, 11 through 5, 11 p.m. through 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. And I'm like, what do I need to prepare? What do I need to do? And she's like, bring some good music or bring a good CD. And I'm like, okay. and so I ended up bringing a CD, and I'll never forget this. It was this was the hook that got me into the interest of law enforcement. But it was maybe 3 a.m. She got a call, or we got a call, where it was lights but no sirens. So essentially, like an important call or a high demand call. And I remember us in pursuit, listening to some of my favorite music, going to the call, and it was just, as a 15-year-old, you're like, this is awesome. And also being big into cars and being a gearhead, I was like, you get to drive fast, you're helping the community, and you're listening to your favorite music. These are all checking my boxes. So not to go too far into a tangent, but I everything when it came to law enforcement was my interest. So ended up studying criminal justice. Senior year was interning with the Oregon State Police, specifically Fish and Wildlife. So being outdoors, just enjoying nature, but also focusing on the Fish and Wildlife division. And right when there was a spot for me for the next class, and there was an opportunity for me to go into a grad program. And so it was a 180, and ended up not pursuing the law enforcement field.
So, all right. First of all, what CD did you bring?
That was a good one. It was a mix. It was those days where you would make a CD and then write every single song.
Yeah. Which, of course, you would never have used Kazaa or LimeWire or Napster. Like, these were very definitely legally downloaded and paid for tunes. Yeah.
I can't speak on that because it wasn't my CD. It was given from a friend to friend to friend. It was like baseball cards, trading CDs, knowing what playlist is what. So
yeah. So you did this ride along, and as you said, right? I mean, you're a teenage boy getting to drive fast, listen to music. Life is good. Stay up late,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you were with the Oregon State Police, but you also had, and we can't skip over this.
Yeah.
You were one of the most popular law enforcement agents of all time. What is it that you did for a couple of years during undergrad?
So that's a good question. When you say popular, what do you mean, Ryan?
Oh, I mean that very sarcastically, because I believe you work for parking enforcement, right?
Yes.
I want to hear the most obnoxious, horrible or scary story that you had when somebody's breaking down or getting up in your face. Yeah. I mean, you know, that is not the most glorious minimum wage position people have ever had.
It's funny. Good catch on the LinkedIn experiences. I can't recall any, to be specific, any bad moments, but it was the classic. I was on the lenient side, so let me make that clear. if the meter expired 30 minutes, I would let it go to 45 or 60. But it was just the people that either had a bad day and just a ticket was the last thing that they needed. And so what I just recall, in law enforcement, they called it verbal jujitsu, and how to de-escalate situations for the best outcome. And so it was always just trying to understand the other person's situation and being flexible. So to answer your question, there's probably a handful of people that were really mad or frustrated, but I always tried to end it up on a good note and be flexible and easy.
You seem like the type that doesn't get rattled too easily.
It takes a lot. I always try to keep my cool and shake it off. But maybe that came with the undergrad. Who knows?
All right, so let's transition here closer into kind of what you ended up doing. So after studying criminal justice, working, you know, with the Oregon State Police and doing the parking enforcement and kind of, you know, really looking like you were heading towards a career in that path, you end up getting a master's in management information systems, right? Effectively, you know, a very IT computer networking focused degree. And then you end up in e-discovery working for service providers. How did that happen? Was this like an evolution of, you know, more criminal justice where you're thinking, hey, this is, you know, maybe I'm doing white collar investigations, or maybe I'm going in and working for an agency, or maybe, or was this just a totally a break and a new path in your mind?
It was totally by accident. So to give some context and set the foundation, while I was in college and in the summers as well, I worked on a hazelnut farm in the, they call it the Wine Valley, or it's essentially Yamhill County, but it's the Willamette Valley. And I worked on a filbert farm or a hazelnut farm. And now a close friend was a former project manager in the Portland area for construction. And his wife is an executive, complete different field and industry, but in security. And so I was exposed to them from a career standpoint, from a mentor standpoint, the list goes on. And so while I was working on the farm in my college days, the grad program opened up and essentially they influenced me. I had an interest in project management, something with IT, but I just didn't know what. So after grad school, I knew I wanted to do project management through a bunch of applications in a variety of different industries. And eDiscovery was the project management industry that I fell in, just by accident.
It's serendipity, man. It's a great thing.
100%.
All right, so you come up through the service provider ranks, and then you end up making the jump to Relativity, what, about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, something like that?
2 years ago, yep.
And so there's a, you know, a general understanding in the industry, right? I mean, you know, the EDRM is almost 20 years old. People know what that means, right? They understand what happens within those buckets. Your title, and let me get this right, is the Manager of Strategic Partnerships. Right at Relativity.
Correct.
So there's going to be a lot of, you know, whether they're eDiscovery attorneys or document reviewers, you know, technologists, project managers, et cetera, who don't necessarily know what that means. So I'll tell them, what's your day job?
Totally. So it's, I'll take a few steps back to your EDRM point. The benefit and the exposure that I got in service provider days was spending as much time in each of those stages or steps across the EDRM workflow. And so highlighting just that time that's spent, a lot of people don't sometimes know that there are subject matter experts in each of those steps. And so I spent hours depending on what it is, whether it's processing or review, the list goes on. But having that was the huge foundation of me now going into the role that I'm in now. And so go-to-market manager for our tech partnerships group means that there are a variety of different partners in our ecosystem. And specifically, I manage our Microsoft relationship. So we have very specific sets of partners that help in a variety of different ways.
So when you talk about managing a Microsoft partnership, for example, right? I mean, people will see, you know, headlines or announcements from time to time, but how, if we're thinking now from the Relativity user perspective, whether that be a law firm or a service provider or a corporate legal department, how does your team, your role, how does what you do add value to the end client's experience and the value they derive from the Relativity product?
Totally. So there's three kind of focuses that we have. It's reducing costs, always increasing security. And the third being is increasing productivity. So that's kind of the three pillars of focus that we have. Specifically with my role, kind of an example is, what is a Microsoft solution or application or feature that we can integrate or adopt into our product that makes the end client or channel partner's life easier. That's the big picture. So one example specifically is Microsoft has a service called Azure Cognitive Services, and that's what powers Relativity Translate. So that's one example of how can our clients use something that makes their review process a lot easier, cut steps out, so on and so forth.
Yeah, excellent. Well, I could keep you here for a long time, but we're bumping up against the limits of decency here. So if people want to get in touch with you and learn more about what it is you do, or you know, how they could benefit from, you know, what you guys are doing, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Yep. Chris Isaac, chris.isaac@relativity.com. And with Relativity Fest coming around the corner, September 26th through the 28th, keep an eye out for some sessions. We have a lot coming out. And so either you'll see me walking around like we've seen each other just through passing, feel free to reach out or stop me, and I'm happy to chat.
Nice. Awesome. Chris, thanks for coming on the show.
Cheers, Ryan. Thank you.